I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Paul Bogard is the author of the book, The End of Night, Searching for Natural Darkness in an Age of Artificial Light. In it, he details the vital nature of pure darkness and the increasing damage done by its absence in the modern world. He'll be speaking at the Corvallis Benton County Public Library this Wednesday, October 9th at 7 p.m. in an appearance sponsored by OSU's Spring Creek Project for Ideas, Nature, and the Written Word. He joins us at KLCC by phone. Welcome, Paul.
Great to be here.
Well, darkness is something we tend to take for granted, yet isn't it the truth that most city dwellers these days never actually experience darkness?
Yeah, it is true. In fact, if you look at a scale that astronomers use called the Bortle scale, it's a 9-point scale with 9 being our brightest places and 1 being kind of that natural primordial darkness. Most Americans spend most of our lives in levels 5 and above, so we just never even experience those darker levels.
How do we communicate to city dwellers the difficulty in not having darkness when they've never experienced what darkness truly is?
Well, I think a number of ways. One is that there are still places that are dark available to us, especially in the West, and folks living in Oregon are close to some really dark places. If you get out into the eastern desert, for example, one of my favorite places is in the Black Rock Desert of northern Nevada, for example. You can see some wonderful darkness. And then I think as well making folks aware of some of the issues that impact them wherever they live, like the human health effects, for example.
That is one of the more concrete effects, the effect on human health. What's the relationship between darkness or lack thereof and disease?
Well, what folks are finding now increasingly is that the lack of darkness or the presence of artificial light at night is having some serious impacts on us, three in particular. One is that it's interrupting our sleep and contributing to the epidemic of sleep disorders in the country right now. It's also disrupting our circadian rhythms, those natural 24-hour rhythms that regulate our body's processes. And then finally, it's also impeding the production of the hormone melatonin, which is only produced in the dark at night and is so important to us. Then the lack of melatonin in our bodies has now been linked to the development of cancer, so much that the World Health Organization considers working the night shift a probable carcinogen. So some pretty serious stuff that is well-established science at this point.
And in the wider natural world, what effect is human light pollution having on the greater ecosystem of animals and plants?
You know, it's having a huge impact. I think this is something folks don't realize, we don't think about that much. But when you think that life on Earth evolved with bright days and dark nights, and we need both, all life does, and you have, for example, 60% of invertebrates and 30% of vertebrate species are purely nocturnal, and so they've evolved over hundreds of millions or billions of years to rely on darkness for their life. And when we flood their habitat with our artificial light, it's essentially destroying that habitat. So that has ripple effects up and down the food chain.
One of the most common reasons given for artificial light is the sense of security it seems to give. But is that sense of security actually an illusion?
In many cases, it is. I think what's important to think about with this issue is that light at night, safety and darkness is actually a complex issue. We tend to just reduce it to the idea that because some light helps make us safer and more secure, that ever more light will make us ever more safe and secure. And in fact, if you start getting too much light, and especially lights that are unshielded, that are casting glare in all directions, including into our eyes and creating shadows and all that kind of stuff, it actually makes us less safe and secure at night. So I'm always encouraging folks to think about how we're using light at night thoughtfully, intelligently. It can help us be safer and more secure, but it also can send us in the other direction.
Light does affect our sense of perspective, and perspective is essential for mental health. What effects do you see in terms of lost perspective when the stars vanish from our consciousness?
I think we're losing a huge sense of perspective. I mean, just, you know, think about the fact that for almost all of human history, one of the most common experiences for anyone alive was to walk out at night and come face to face with the universe, just this awesome, the sight of the Milky Way bending over us and just the sense of really feeling quite small in the face of creation. when we lose that perspective, we tend to maybe become a little less humble, a little less, we maybe think we're a little bit bigger than we are. And I also think that when you have the sight of those stars, it also puts our problems, your personal problems, into perspective. You just start to think, like, maybe my problems aren't so big in the whole scheme of things. So it really has an impact on our spiritual health, our psychological health.
In the process of traveling the globe to research the end of night, seeing both the darkest and the brightest places, were there particular experiences of brilliance or darkness that were defining moments for you?
Absolutely. One of the most amazing experiences I had was when I was 18 and backpacking through Europe and North America, or North Africa. And I ended up at the edge of the Sahara Desert down in Morocco and woke up one night and walked out. And my first thought was that it was snowing. And it really was just that there were so many stars. I'd never seen stars like that. And it felt like it imprinted on me that it actually, it's a sight I've never forgotten. And I think when we live in a world today where 8 out of 10 kids who are born in the U.S. now will never live where they can see the Milky Way, we're losing that first-hand experience that imprints on us and makes us appreciative of the beauty of the nights and the importance of darkness.
What solutions do you suggest for the issues that light pollution creates?
The first step is really folks just need to become aware that this is a serious issue, that light pollution is expanding all the time, everywhere, and that there's really no need for it, for all this light, and also that we can take thoughtful, logical, pragmatic steps to control it. It really is an issue that we can control if we become aware of it. I would urge folks to learn more about it and then to support those initiatives for lighting ordinances in their towns, for example, or for legislation that would help us to use lighting that was shielded. The shielded lights are the important ones, just so that we're not shedding light all over the place.
Paul Bogard, author of the book The End of Night, Searching for Natural Darkness in an Age of Artificial Light. He'll speak on Wednesday, October 9th at 7 p.m. at the Corvallis-Benton County Public Library in Corvallis. The free talk is sponsored by OSU's Spring Creek Project for Ideas, Nature, and the Written Word, co-sponsored by Friends of the Library and Grassroots Books and Music. More information on the event at springcreek.oregonstate.edu. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.